everyone. Welcome to Raising a Business Podcast. My name's Susie, and I'm here with...
Trevor.
Or T-Dog, as some like to call
T-Dog, him. T-Dog, yeah.
And today we are going to talk about how to keep yourself motivated and always learning something new. This is something we talk about lots as a company and as a team, and just sort of feel like in general is important, I guess, to your own kind of well-being. So we thought that might be a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah.
I know you feel real strong about this topic. It's something that seems to be really embedded into your kind of core psyche, maybe from sports background.
I think motivating or keeping yourself motivating to learn and pushing to the next level is always a good thing. Always to kind of get uncomfortable and get outside of your comfort zone is... sometimes it's hard to do that. You want to just stay where you're comfortable, but that deep growth, I think, is in those areas where it's kind of uncomfortable to be in. So I think it's definitely something that I'm always trying to strive for, push myself to kind of learn more and to try new stuff and all the time. So I don't know. It's kind of a hard question for me to answer, I think, to, like, how do I keep myself motivated? Because it's, a lot of it is self-driven.
Yeah, I would say it's 100% self-driven. I think sometimes people put triggers in or, like, you know, they build things into their life where, like, they have to go to a fitness class at a certain date and time or things like that that make that outside accountability. But I think so much of it, for sure, it has to come from your own mindset.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think a lot of it is just deciding to do something, and I hate deciding I'm going to do something and then not do it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just not to let myself down, I guess, would be the biggest thing. I just have that kind of self drive to just, you know.
That's awesome.
Especially if someone says I can't do it.
Yeah, especially. I know that definitely kind of gets you going. It actually does get me going, too. Though I'm definitely more of the external kind of control. If I told somebody else I would do it for them or for me or for the team, then that's what, you know, I really want to come through on. I'm definitely... That's our dog Blue shaking it off. I definitely want to keep more accountable to that almost more than I do myself, whereas if I can kind of put other people first and get things happening, then that seems like a really a place where I kind of thrive better that way.
What's some of the things that you strive for to be better at or to keep learning? Like, do you have any, like, are you just talking professionally or are you talking like in life in general?
Yeah. Personal in life in general. I mean, I always want to be in my mind. I realize that I always want to be above average fit. Like, there's like average and I want to be above average. Yeah. Like it's, and I guess maybe it's like the driving thing where everybody thinks they're an above average driver. But yeah, it's like, to me, that's really important and something I feel like I'm always striving for. And I kind of do better when I've got either different challenges or, like, I think I said to you the other day, let's do a 30-day yoga challenge. Like, let's do yoga for 30 days. And it's like, there's really no reason other than to, like, almost just kind of say we did it. Or, you know, last year I did P90X with you for the first time, which was, or I guess that was this year in January.
Yeah, it was this year. Yeah.
Which was kind of mind-blowing for me to realize that I could stick to, you know, something like that. And I've done other challenges. So I feel like fitness ones I can do okay if I set my mind to it and there's like an external goal. But in terms of other things to learn, I feel like there's so many. And I feel like what I haven't nailed is I feel like I'm really motivated now. There was a time when we were kind of, I don't know, maybe a year ago when I just felt so tired from the business that I kind of stopped thinking about all the other things I wanted to learn. But now I feel like for the last quite a while, I've been really, there's all kinds of things I want to learn. I want to do outside, you know, projects. I want to start sketching more. I want to do, you know, hand lettering. I want to learn animations.
What stops you now from kind of learning the hand lettering thing? Because I know that is one of your goals that you've had for a while now.
For sure, is that I haven't quite figured out how to just sort of turn off work at, you know, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock and then just sort of feel like I have blocks of time that then really I can just like go to my hobbies list or learning list and do whatever. I do always make time for reading, because to me that seems like it's such a reflex. Like, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, I read a lot of books, and I always seem to find time for that, but that seems to take such low amounts of energy, I guess, in comparison, that when it comes to figuring out how to plan and schedule and just sort of make happen, like say, yeah, hey, tonight is Tuesday night, I'm going to work on X, and that's kind of what I'll do. I seem to not quite get to that point. I always feel like I just putter around with work, or like, you know, we'll go for a walk or, you know, make dinner and then kind of just go back to work. Or by then I'm like, oh, there's not much time in the night, there's no point in starting anything. So I think that's where I need to change my mindset. And
yeah, because I think with anything, even if you did 15 minutes, it's 15 minutes you didn't do the other day.
Totally, you're right.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I just looking at kind of your situation too, is like, you know, if you listen to 3 hours of audiobooks because it's easy and you don't have to think about it and you're tired from work, well, you know, if there's a skill that you want to acquire, rather than reading 3 hours or listening to 3 hours of audiobooks, maybe that's just squishing that down to 1 hour of concentration on whatever it is that you want to kind of learn. Mm. And then, you know, taking the other 2 hours to actually, like, you know, regenerate and rest.
Right.
Rather than kind of like you were saying, putzing around and really
Not doing much. Yeah.
For 3 hours, take those 3 hours and make one of them with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, start learning whatever it is, you know, because it doesn't take long for hours to add up and to actually, you know, mm-hmm. get somewhere on anything that you want to kind of learn. So
yeah, that's a good point. It's definitely worth trying, I think, of, yeah, just kind of getting started. I have started creating a kind of list of, like, whether it's like house projects, because we moved into this new house that needs all kinds of renovations and has a million little projects, that, you know, now, you know, I kind of want to just make sure I've got that handy. So when it's like, hey, I've got half an hour or 20 minutes, like you said, you know, what do I want to work on? And then just being able to kind of quick reference that and grab something and, you know, kind of get started. So, yeah. What about you? How you do a really good job of making time for extra learning, and it's really front of mind. So how do you rectify that, and where do you find your struggles with staying motivated or learning something new?
Well, I think just the kind of industry that I am in, it's kind of I wouldn't say forced upon, but it's almost expected that you need to keep up with technology and changes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for me, it's still exciting. Like, it's not like, oh, I gotta learn this. It's like, oh my god, like, you can do that with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I gotta learn that, like, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's really part of the career. I think it's just part of the job of you know being a developer, or you know, any kind of software developer.
Yeah, it's pretty ingrained into your industry. You kind of have no choice.
Well, and in my situation too, the way I started was kind of on the side. And
mm-hmm.
and so you learn to make it like a priority. You learn to make it, that's what you do. If you have an extra 3 hours, you don't watch the hockey game on TV. You come downstairs and you try to learn that piece of code that you don't understand, right?
Right.
Or you take a course or something. So I think for me, it's a little bit easier. Also, I'm not really as heavily involved in the management, sales, part of the of what you do. I mean, we do a lot of internal managing and stuff like that, which I'm a huge part of, but
right.
A lot of the external client meetings and stuff like that, you take care of them because you're so good at it, but I think that eats up a lot of your time.
Mm.
And so,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times, you know, if you have a meeting at 6 o'clock at night, just as, you know, your business partner, not even as your husband, but just as a business partner, there's a part of me that kind of feels, well, if she's at work,
right,
I can't be up here watching hockey or,
right,
you know, drinking a beer or something.
That's
I have to be downstairs kind of you know, doing my end of the thing and getting my craft even better.
Do you think the fact that we both feel compelled to that, because I notice that with even house rentals or things, is if I'm just trying to relax or read and not doing anything and you're, you know, building a fence and digging holes in the backyard, that I feel compelled to have to help you? Do you think that's a good thing, or do you think sometimes that just exhausts ourselves? I know it makes us good team players, but do you think it's a positive thing or not? Because in that case, there's so many times when I'm like, man, I hope Trevor's just relaxing, right? Like, I got to take this meeting, but, you know, it's getting me out of the house and it is what it is. But I hope, you know, Trevor just can turn it off and relax. And I know you don't really.
No, like, I mean, I like it, though. I would rather be working than upstairs watching TV by myself. Or, like, I'm not a big TV person. I mean, I do like watching hockey. But even that, I mean, I can take it or leave it. I'm not one of these, like, I don't go on Netflix binge watches.
Yeah, I know. We definitely aren't into
it. I don't really know a lot of the new television shows. Like, I'm just not a TV person. I don't know. I just, even movies, like, I know we sat down to watch the new Star Wars movie there.
And that was hilarious.
Halfway through, I, like, got up and left. And it was like, it wasn't that it was a bad movie.
It was like you were standing there the whole time.
Well, I get thinking of, like, projects. And I get thinking of, like, hey, I can figure that out now. And, you know, and I just, it's...
That's funny.
For me, like, I feel relaxed and I love to... like, kind of learn and better my craft, right? You know, so I do have that motivation that, like, if you're working, I should be working. You know, like, I really feel guilty if you were at a meeting and I was upstairs taking a nap or something like that. Like, but it's also what I want to be doing too. Like, I would much rather be doing that than... If anything, I feel more guilty if you're upstairs and you're watching television and I'm down here working.
Because then you feel like you should be relaxing with me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know
like
that.
At 8 o'clock at night, I almost feel, I have this guilty, like, oh, I feel bad. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm down here and she's all by herself.
Well, and do you think some of that's because we're really good at scheduling work and, like, extra learning, but we're not always good at scheduling time for each other to be just, like, you know, unconditional, like... you know, present in it, which is hard because we do have all the, I don't think it's hard. I think it's exciting because it means we love what we're doing where we're so, you know, kind of engrossed in that. But yeah, but you shouldn't feel bad. Don't ever feel bad when you're done here working on that stuff. Unless I'm like, hey, come. I'm trying to force you to watch Solo with me. And
yeah,
then
Star Wars. Yeah.
I pick a really long movie, you know.
Yeah.
6 hour long movie.
I'm good for 45 minute movies. Like, that's, I'm good for the hour long
Yeah, this
shows.
Business has definitely made us like, I mean, you've always been antsy and you can't really sit still. But I would say for sure, like, we've just gotten so used to just kind of going all the time that the idea of sitting, even I was antsy,
well,
and I love movies.
I'm okay to admit that I'm a little bizarre. I mean, I'll be sitting inside and then you'll like see me go and you like where'd Trevor go and I'm outside building a fence.
Like, yeah, out of nowhere. Like, guys, out of nowhere. There was blizzarding last week, you know, here in awesome Airdrie, Alberta, and Trevor was outside digging holes and building fences, like, covered in snow. And I'm like, what is he doing?
And it wasn't planned. It wasn't like, well, it was kind of planned. I mean, we knew that that's where we wanted to build.
An idea.
Well, I just look at, like, you know, you're either going to do something or you're not going to do something. And I hate talking about something. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, you do.
If you want to build a fence, then go build a fence. Like, no sense talking about it, pricing it out. I just see, like, so much waste. Well, the wood over here is $2, you know, a foot. And over there, it's $2.05. It's like, pick it. Like, you're talking about, like, $5. Like,
yeah,
you know,
it's
just
ridiculous.
You know, I just look at, like, pick something that you want to do. And then just go do it. Like, like, you can talk about it all you want, like we're doing on this podcast. But, like, if you want to learn and be a JavaScript expert, then do what it takes to be a JavaScript expert. Don't just talk about how cool it would be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what motivates me, is that I've talked about it. I've said I've always wanted to be a full stack developer. Well, I went out and I did it, right? I mean, you know, I don't want to just keep talking about, wouldn't it be cool if I learned Node? Well, no, I went and learned it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if I learned how to work with MongoDB? No, you know, I said it and I did it. So when I say something, it's almost like I'm making up my mind in that instance that I'm going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just like the fence. We talked about the fence and it was like, okay, I'm going Home Depot. Like, I'm going to go get that stuff. Like, I'm not going to fool around. Like, we've decided this, like, it's time to get this thing in motion.
It does make me a little scared to, like, suggest random things because sometimes it's like...
sledgehammer. I come in with a sledgehammer. You said you wanted this wall gone.
Exactly. Totally. I'm, like, just throwing out a random idea.
But what's the worst that can happen? You know, what's the worst? I rip out the fence and, you know...
You gotta pay someone to fix it.
Yeah. Well, I mean... I don't know. I mean, to me, I've always been just like, just dive in. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But you're going to figure it out. Yeah. You know, we're all pretty darn smart individuals. We're going to figure it out. I think the biggest problem is people just talk about what they're going to do and they never actually get to doing it. So, you know, that's the thing too about a lot of, the, you know, what I do about learning different technologies and stuff like that. The best lessons are just building stuff.
Right.
Just like you can take as many courses as you want, read as many books as you want. Until you actually do, you never know exactly what you're doing. Like, just build it, break it, mess it up. And then move on and learn from that and go again. Like, it's the same with you and you wanting to learn lettering. Then just do it. Just start handwriting. Start hand lettering. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's going to look like crap maybe the first couple times. Maybe you're not going to follow all the rules. But who cares? You're just doing stuff. You're just putting stuff out there. And I never think that that's a bad thing to just build something.
Right.
You know, even with the fence, it could be wrong. But the next fence I build, I've got some tips and tricks for myself.
What not to do.
Like, dig holes by hand. But, you know, it's if I didn't do that, we'd still be looking in the backyard thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we moved the fence over there?
Yeah. You know? No, it's true. And it never takes as long as you think. Like, that's the funny thing is when you just get started like that, even though it's all hard work and it's, like, kind of everything, like, especially when it comes to renos, I'm always amazed at the cascade effect of, oh, well, you do this, and then it means you need to do this, and then it means this. But it, at the same time, when you do just kind of jump in and don't spend all that pre-thinking time, it's like it takes away from the actual time length it takes, if that makes any sense, right? So then I'm always amazed. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, hey, that fence is done. Now we just gotta pour the garage pad and build a garage. So... You know, that'll be next on the
after winter. That's a spring project. But, yeah, that's true. Maybe it's a winter project. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. See, the idea has been planted.
Well, it's supposed to be 20 degrees today, so maybe we could pour some concrete.
That's gonna be amazing.
I gotta go.
And Trevor's out of here. No. I was just thinking too, like when people do so much talking and even all these things that they say, I think it must really take a toll on people's even kind of confidence and psyche when it's like you have all these ideas and dreams and you never follow through with them. It's like that can't be good for your...
Well, I think I personally think it has a lot to do with a talk I seen the other day. And that people we're so judged and we're so, like, everything is marked and graded that we're so scared of failing that we just don't want to do anything. And I think failing is probably the best part of learning is,
that's interesting.
You know, well, you know, and again, I hate keep bringing it back to, you know, coding and web development and all that kind of stuff that I do. But if you just watch the videos and you copy and paste exactly what the instructor's doing and you repeat it and you're like, oh, great, I know this. You're just kind of believing in the magic of why that works. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, wow, well, that did this and that's awesome and it's just magical. And you just believe. And they're like, nobody explains why. But until you actually build with it and you totally mess it up, you crash a server, you blow something up and you're like, oh, crap, that's why I don't do it. Now, then you know why you do certain things and you actually learn more than if you just blindly sit there and go, oh, okay, I'm going to just copy and paste this bit of code every single time. Mm-hmm. No, build something of your own and totally mess it up and have to, like, figure it out. Have to, and then you realize where the magic comes from. Why, when you write this piece of code, this happens? Because, well, if you don't, this is what happens.
Right.
You know, and that's why, like, so I just think, like, if you have a dream, if you have a goal, I think failure is probably the best way of getting there.
It
you
is.
Know, if you don't fail, yeah. nobody who's ever done anything, like, you know, like, even bring it to hockey, Connor McDavid, you don't think that he's had numerous multiple fails? So he's probably, you know, fallen a million times trying to learn how to skate. He's probably, you know, missed the net a billion times learning how to be accurate with his shot. I mean, it takes so many failures to be great at something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be afraid to go out there and stick your neck out and look. Like, you're not going to look like an idiot, but no. Just don't worry about looking like an idiot.
Totally. It does seem like there's so many cheesy sayings of, like, you know, it's not how many times you fall, it's getting up that last time, or, like, all these sayings that are, like, so cheesy that are about, you know, the failures teaching you what you need.
But they're there for
forward.
A reason. Exactly. They're sayings for
just
a reason.
Gonna say that.
Because I think anybody who's amounted to anything will tell you that they failed more than they, you know, care to admit.
They just keep
practicing.
They just kept trying and practicing, and they knew the failures were part of the process.
Well, I mean, that's, and you know, like, the, you know, 5-6 year journey that we've been on, I'm the biggest failure out of both of us. I mean, I've failed so much.
No, I'm the biggest failure.
Well, I can tell you, like, there's been nights where it's just like, I am never going to, like, understand
right.
this.
Yeah,
I'm never going to
get
this. It's you know, you think, oh my God, I'm dumb. I'm absolutely too dumb to get this.
Right.
But I'll tell you, you stick with it long enough. You stick with anything long enough, and you'll be a pro at it one day. You'll be the expert. It's pushing through.
That
uncomfortableness to get to the comfortable side, and then now every time I feel comfortable, it's like, oh, I'm gonna learn this, and
you almost make it like a habit, a trigger. I just started, everybody has raved about I think it's, I don't know, is it Charles Duhigg, but the power of habit and how much that changes your behavior and all those things. But it's like you almost now have put a trigger in your brain where it's like, if things seem too easy and simple, then that, like, triggers the fact that you need to push yourself and learn something new.
No, it's a curse.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of a curse. But I mean, that's still, it's kind of an interesting way of thinking about things, as opposed to, you know, people when we're all just trying to avoid pain at all costs, right? Like, that's kind of a, because you can't avoid it anyway. And then you live this totally unfulfilled life because you're not trying new things and kind of venturing into different territories and stretching yourself to grow. I feel like that's something, we don't have any kids, but I feel like that's something parents and schools and stuff, you would think, would really want to instill in kids at an early age. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to smack down on your face 10 times before you're going to get that figured out. Or you need to fall off your bike 20 times. I mean,
well,
you
but
don't
kids
want
are,
to...
I think. Kids are already. Like, look at a kid trying to walk for the first time. All they do is fall down, right?
That's
until,
true.
And they don't give up. Because
they don't get discouraged.
They don't feel embarrassed. They don't feel stupid. They don't feel like they're not good enough. They just know that they need to walk.
Right.
Right?
So, and they're not insecure about it either.
They're not, yeah. So they fall down a million times.
Yeah.
But eventually they walk across the living room and they never look back, kind of thing, right? But, I mean, that didn't come without, you know, a million times falling on your face, right?
Do you think that, is there something in, like, our culture and society that
yes,
we somehow
it's
perpetuate?
School.
Well, perpetuate not failing, I guess, kind of, because you're... Because
you get great.
I
think from the time you then all of a sudden enter the school system, you get a grade.
Mm-hmm.
And you get ranked. And you get told where you are.
Based on your failures almost being a bad thing.
Being a horrible thing.
That's a really good point.
Where
that's
you should
crazy.
Try and you should fail. And then, but you should be encouraged to try again, not... Well, I guess you do when you get held back a year.
Or you should...
Try that again.
That's true. Or you should get points. You should get points, like, almost like extra points for trying it more times than others. Because that's part of the process too, right? Is you just need to try it twice as many times as the next person, and then you'll be twice as good at some point. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a theory. I'm sure the math doesn't work like that, but
it's fun though to think that way.
I'll keep telling myself that if I just fail more times, I'm going to be twice as good as you. Yeah,
we're changing the system for our kid.
Yeah, it's all about failure.
It's reverse Marx.
Wait a minute.
I got 90. No, you got 10%.
Yeah. I feel it.
I don't know.
I feel like that could backfire somehow, but
I just feel like people are so hard on themselves too when they want to learn something new, like that, you know, like even working out too, like, you know, lifting weights or getting back into shape. People are so hard, like, you know, of course the first time you work out, you're going to be sore the next day, you know, and it's not going to be fun and it's going to, you know, you're not going to do it right. But, you know, it's always amazing that after you get past those first 2 weeks or whatever, week and a half, nothing, you know, you're into it and your body's getting used to it and you're feeling good, right? And I just feel like that's almost everything that you do. The first couple times, it's really it's painful. It hurts. It's not
natural. Yeah, because you're tearing the muscles to rebuild it.
And then all of a sudden you just get used to it and you're getting good at it and you're getting better, right? So I think if we took away all that self-consciousness and I don't know, I guess just the fear of failure, I think people would be more motivated to learn new things because, you know, I mean, I know when I was growing up and going through school, I was never the best at English.
Right.
Me fail English. I was not really, I never really excelled. Math was my thing. But I remember I was, like, embarrassed and scared to write an essay or to read in front of the class. It was never, like, I was so, like, I remember just praying, like, please don't pick me to read that in front of the class. You know, you'd be reading a novel or whatever, and then they'd make everybody read paragraphs. I hated it. I hated it because, you know, I wasn't good or I wasn't the best at it. Math problems, I put my hand up, I'd go to the board, I'd figure it out, like, let's do this. And it's just a confidence thing, and you know, I wish I was not so scared back then, because there's nothing to be embarrassed about, you know?
There isn't.
If anything, I should have been the one reading all the time, because you get better at it then, right?
That's interesting. I just had a good thought and it just slipped my mind.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's tragic.
It is. It was good. It was kind of a different vein, but sort of thinking of the same thing. But yeah, no, fear of failure, I think, is really tough for people and something that we should all just kind of have more of thinking that it's fine to do. Oh, that's what I was going to say, is playing to people's strengths. I know that's something we've seen, as a team, for sure, for us, and really, like, I was just thinking about you being really good at math and not as good at English is, like, in some ways, again, school doesn't really help you out with that, because it's like, why wouldn't you just, you know, play to your strengths and know you need to learn this other side, but you don't have to be the best at it, right? Like, in some ways, it sort of feels like that might be a better approach, too, though. You don't want people, like, avoiding the challenge of needing to learn and do something they're not good at. But I think also not feeling, I remember in school, I was the exact opposite of you. I was great at English and terrible at math, and math always made me feel so dumb. And English, I was, you know, a wizard or whatever. So I was like,
a wizard.
I do magical things with words. No. So I think it's because you look at our roles now, like, we're fully functioning adults, we own a business, we've got a team, and what do? You deal with the numbers, the operations, the, you know, logistical side on top of all the coding, and I do the more writing, the sales, the writing up plans, and the writing side of it. So why in the world would we think that somehow that would needs to be, obviously we need to understand what each other's do, but I know you're good at what you do and I'm good at what I do, so that's what we play to, right? So I don't know, I was just thinking playing to strengths seems like
a playing to strengths, yeah. But I guess, you know, I guess to bring it all back to the original question, what do you do to keep yourself motivated, I to always learn something new, I guess, you know, we're talking more about, you know, not letting those things unmotivate you,
right? Yes,
but I think the simplest answer for me is that I care too much about what I do, and I care too much to be good at what I do. And that's my, at the end of the day, that's my motivation. And it's so funny too, because I say it to you all the time that, you know, a lot of my motivation is, well, because I've already put in like 5-6 years.
Right.
I got to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, because if I stop, then all of a sudden those past half decade was a waste of time, right? So,
right.
I think keeps me motivated is just always trying to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to be the best, you know, web developer that I can be. Because I'm really am passionate about, you know, development and everything that comes along with it. And, you know, that means giving up watching, you know, hockey on Saturday night to come down here and make and break something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think my motivation is just, yeah, just always pushing to be better. Like, that's my motivation.
Very cool.
And I don't know if that's...
It's amazing.
I don't know how amazing it is. Sometimes it's obsessive.
Well, I think it can be. Just like anything, you can take a good thing and go too far, right? Like, if you never leave the house and you don't ever, you know, stop learning.
Well, I do need a haircut and a shower.
A little bit. So, I mean, I think if it can be, too much of anything is not good. But I was listening to a book the other day, and they were just talking about some, like, Buddhist philosophies, and they were talking about how self-mastery is really kind of, really the only thing there is, right? Like, if you take away everything, you take away business, you take away relationships, you take away, you know, your house, whatever, your car, all of those things, is all that's left that really should be the most fulfilling in your life is just that self-mastery of anything, right? Just always learning more, you know, feeling like you're growing in any aspect. And I think that's on all sides, not just work, career, but are you growing your relationships? Are you growing your muscles in your body? Are you growing your brain? Are you growing your perspective, your, you know, your realm of how you see the world? Is that's what I think has been on my mind lots, is thinking about just that self-mastery and how much that can flow into different areas. And that needs to be that's what makes people feel young and alive and, you know, vibrant. But I think it needs to be a balance of, I think you can't just be self-mastering work.
Why not?
Because then you never leave the house and you need a bath and a shower or and a haircut, I mean. So I think that's maybe where it's like you need that mastery in different areas to make yourself this whole master.
Whole master.
Whole master. That sounds like an oxymoron somehow, depending on how you spell whole. But anyway. did you have any other thoughts in this sort of area? Any other, do you remember the name of that TED Talk that you watched?
No. Actually, I think it was, I'll link it in the show notes here. I believe it was the Super Mario Effect. Super Mario Brothers
right.
Effect.
Yeah.
Because he talks about how the difference between, like, failures and playing a game where you can have the same, like, a test and you can mark it as, like, you know, you got this wrong. And after a while, people just feel, I think, like, the end message is people just feel so negative and beat up that they're getting the question or the test wrong that they give up.
Right.
Whereas if you take the exact same test and turn it into a game,
right,
people don't give up and they keep going until they finish it. And he, you know, he does a couple of, like, examples, and they've seen a couple of tests where this happened, where it's the exact same quote-unquote test, and they say it's a test, and you lose points every time you get a question wrong. People give up, like, right away.
Right.
Where it was the same test, but they framed it differently as a game, and you didn't lose points for getting things wrong, and you didn't. And people were 2.5 times... continued playing 2.5 times longer.
Yeah,
they tried 2.5 times more. So
wow.
I think they tried in the other game like 4 or 5 times and they quit. And then in the one where they framed it as a game, I think they tried like between 12 and 15 times before they said they couldn't do it. But most and the success rate was way higher in the game. So, and that's kind of where, like what I was trying to say is that, you know, don't look at failures as you're getting it wrong or that it's, you know, it's not right. It's just part of the process of getting to your goal, mm-hmm. right? Totally. You have to fail. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fall down. You're gonna make mistakes. But if you keep at it, I'm a true believer that if there's any skill that you want to be called a master in, all it takes is time. All it takes is time, and you can do whatever it is you want. If you want to be a basket weaver, all you got to do is make a lot of baskets. And by the time you're at like 1,000 baskets, you're going to be an expert basket weaver. It probably looks a lot nicer than your first one. Right. So it's just that. And for me, it's that motivation that keeps me going, mm-hmm. that I'm going to keep building websites and using new technology. Because I want to be that master basket weaver,
right?
You know, and I don't look back and look at my old websites and think, oh, like I totally did those. Like that was
what a failure.
Well, yeah. You know, nothing I've done, I think, looks like a failure or is a failure. It's a process of how I got to where I am today. Mm-hmm. Right. So I look back and I just think like, wow, look how far I've come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all just, like I said, it's just a process to get there. And, you know, if you just don't look at every time you fall down as a failure, it's right. just, it's getting to where you want to be. So mm-hmm. yeah, to be motivated, it's just.
And even when you fall, sometimes you fall forward. So you're still making progress, I should say, in some way, shape, or form.
Roll down the hill.
Yeah. Fail faster. And one of the places I worked, we used to say that all the time, is fail faster, or fail harder. And there is something interesting about that, because then you're turning around, like you're saying. And if you're going to be a master, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I don't know if we really answered the question of how we stay motivated, but...
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if we did.
I think I might have touched on it a little bit more. I stay motivated because I just want to be, I know where I want to be, and that's what keeps me going.
And I did too at the beginning, where I stay motivated because I see how it affects other people.
Yeah.
So I stay motivated to be good at what we do and to stay driven and to be a good partner to you or a good family member because I'm inspired by other people.
Yeah.
So I think the locus of control is what it's called. Your internal locus of control, I'm more external locus of control.
And I think what we talked about mostly is, you know, don't let the things that normally take that motivation away from you, don't let them come in.
Yeah, the discouraging stuff.
So whatever your motivation is, whatever your personal drive to do whatever it is you want to do, the biggest thing I think is just don't let those failures take away from whatever got you to that place to start.
Agreed.
You know, it's like the Super Mario. Whenever you fall into the pit, you're just right back at the start, and you just got to remember, I got to jump over the pit.
Jump a little sooner,
and you'll get further each and every time, right? Yeah. And I think that's why that talk was the Super Mario Brothers talk.
Very cool.
It every time you fail, you go back to the start, but you go back to the start with the knowledge of what you gained through that game, and you keep going until you get to the castle and rescue the princess.
Yay, the princess to rescue.
Yeah. So,
love it.
Whatever your motivation is, don't be discouraged.
Yeah, totally. So what do you guys do to keep yourself motivated, and how do you learn new things, and how do you keep yourself from being discouraged, I guess? So that you don't ever feel discouraged and things. So let us know. We would always love to hear from you. And we will be back next week with another podcast for Raising a Business. And thanks for joining me, Trev.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.